This is Joanne Ecton, founder of Mojo Solutions, and today's podcast is going to continue with our theme of interviewing people who have broken the mold, left the corporate job, started their own business successfully. Now, before we get started, let me also tell you that you can visit us on our flagship website called lifechoiceexpert.com, and there you can sign up for a free newsletter where we publish different tips, strategies, techniques that you can put in your life to help you be successful. And that's at lifechoiceexpert.com. So today's guest is Leah Richards. And Leah has started her own company called Pig of the Month. It's a barbecue company, as you might expect from the name. But her story starts with her graduating college as a finance major and working for Goldman Sachs, and how she made that transition from finance to barbecue. So let's welcome Leah Richards.
Hi, today we're on with our special guest, Leah Richards. Leah is the founder and owner of Pig of the Month Barbecue, a nationwide mail-order barbecue company. She founded this in 2010 as a bootstrap venture and quickly learned how to leverage her marketing and PR savvy to grow her business on the cheap. She now shares this knowledge with other entrepreneurs around the country. She's been mentioned in the New York Times, Food & Wine magazine, Food Network magazine, Thrill List, and Good Morning America, among others. I'm so excited, Leah, that you are able to take the time and talk with us today and to share your story with us. So thank you very much for joining us.
No problem. I'm excited to be here.
You know, you have this great history with Pig of the Month Barbecue, but you didn't start there. One of the things that we talked about was your transition from when you were working in Goldman Sachs and working a corporate job and then left that job to follow your heart. And I'd love to hear that part of your story. Can you share with us what you were doing and what made you leave?
Sure. So I graduated from college. It was kind of a bad time in the job market, and I took a job in finance, which was my degree, and I went ahead and, you know, went to one of the top companies, Goldman Sachs, and I was just doing like a first-year analyst type work in a different sector. I think I got there and started realizing very quickly within 5 or 6 months that this is not for me. This is not even close to what I would like to do. You know, you end up working 100 hours a week, and it's just kind of a skeevy business and having to do all these deals and this and that. And it was just not, you know, when you go home and you feel bad inside, it's a bad sign. And I could tell right away that it was time to regroup, figure out where I really wanted to be. You know, I had thought finance was going to be like my lifelong career, and lo and behold, I was wrong. So, you know, I went and moved back home to Dayton, Ohio, and kind of regrouped for a little while.
And that's kind of an interesting story, because so many people think that they know everything when they set out for college, pick a major, and know what you're going to get your degree in and what your career is going to be. But it doesn't always work out that way. So you're living proof that you can start out in one direction, change directions, and still make, you know, good decisions for yourself. So you move back home, and tell me how you got started with barbecue. How did you go from finance to barbecue?
Well, I always loved to cook, always did, and we had kind of had a family tradition of whenever we went on vacation, we would go search out the funny little barbecue places, the little holes in the walls, the random kitchens that you'd find. So we were always on a big quest for, like, the best barbecue we could ever find. So when I had moved home and quit my job, it was around Father's Day of that next year, where I was looking around for a cool Father's Day gift, because my dad is one of those people that's incredibly hard to buy for. And I think, you know, he really loves barbecue, and I thought to myself, oh, well, I'll look online. I'll find one of the, you know, best barbecues in this country and have it sent to him, and he'll just go wild for it. Well, he came, and it was quite underwhelming. We were kind of like, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea was born at that point. I had no other prospective ideas, and my dad was like, you know, why don't you have the drive and motivation to do this on your own? Why don't you try and see what would happen if you sold your own barbecue and sent it around the country?
How did you get started doing that? That just seems like a huge undertaking.
I think you take it one step at a time. I didn't realize at the time what a huge undertaking it was going to be. I think I was a little naive when I started. But, you know, I just started researching. We ordered from all the companies we could find, and we started putting together what it would do, you know, what it would take to put together a website and what kind of regulations we would need to follow. And, you know, it ended up being a good 6-7 month venture to even get started because of all the regulations with the U.S. Department of Agriculture and shipping and all that kind of stuff.
So during all of this, it was a big unknown, right? What were your biggest fears? Were you, did you have confidence? Did you know you could do it? Or were you doubting yourself throughout this whole process?
I think I had being young and not experienced on my side. And most people wouldn't count that as a positive, but I think I really do when I look back on it, because I was eager and so motivated to not get another corporate job that I was willing to work all night, all weekend, do whatever it took to make this venture succeed. But I think it's the constant struggle where you go between doubting yourself and completely believing in yourself. It's really hard to stay positive all the time when you're getting all the feedback all by yourself and it's always on your shoulders.
Well, that's true, but you also hit on something else where you said that you believe you were willing to do it because you didn't want to go back to your corporate job. So that was your reason why, right? That was the, and I heard, I think it was John Ashraf who said, if your why is big enough, then you'll figure out the how. And it sounds like that's exactly what you've done.
Yes, I agree completely.
Tell us how it was different. So what's the difference, your adjustment from working for someone else to working for yourself? What was the difference in what you had to do and how you had to think, how you had to behave? Let's talk about that.
When you're working in a large organization, you have so many different components and departments that you can rely on. You can, you know, your function is one small function in the cog of the giant machine. And then you switch that to being your own company, and all of a sudden you have to be, you know, a juggler of all these different cogs, and you're holding the keys to the success all by yourself. You really have to switch. I mean, you just have to switch how you think about things. You have to, you know, have a bunch of different coats you can put on and do like marketing, accounting, finance. You need to be able to do them all, and you need to be doing them pretty well. And in addition, you can't leave your job at the end of the day. I think that's a big one. You can take more time here or there, this and that, and you say, you know, you get to control your own schedule, but at the end of the day, you probably end up working more if you're working for yourself than if you're working in a company. It's just that the work is much more satisfying in the end.
You're right in that you have to do it all, but it's not realistic to expect that you know it all. So were you able to find some support? Were you able to pull in a team of people to help you?
I found that the best way to figure out what you don't know is to ask people that are doing it really well and ask them a lot of questions. A lot of people that are, you know, doing really well in social media or internet marketing or Google AdWords or whatever that I would find online, I would just email them and ask them for some tips, or on LinkedIn find them and ask them, you know, how did you end up doing this? How did this work out? You know, how do you figure this out? And surprisingly enough, people are very willing to help you out if you just ask for their help.
And that's the part that's kind of hard to understand for a lot of people who are in a corporate environment, because the culture there is very different, where if you ask for help, it's almost like knowledge is power, where in the entrepreneurial world, I find that people are willing to help. So you're exactly right that you need to reach out and ask questions, and if you ask, you will get those answers.
I think it's going back to one of those fears. You have to just lose all the fear that you have and just go for it and ask, and don't worry. If somebody doesn't get back to you, just ask somebody else. It's not, you have to kind of hang your pride up and just go for it.
Well, I mean, have you ever had a situation where your fear was justified? I mean, you're right. You're just asking questions. If they don't answer you, then you move on, right? There's no reason to be afraid
right.
of it.
Now, I think there was actually one time that did work out like that, though. Somebody came back to me and said, you know, it's really ballsy of you to contact me. You know, we're in a competing industry. I would never help you like that. And I was just like, you're a bad person.
Yeah.
Not a good person. I'm not going to do business with you. And it was funny because eventually his company wanted to do a partnership with us. And I remember that from a long time ago. And I was like, no thanks. I don't think our corporate values are aligned here.
Yeah, values are the key thing. Sounds like, you know, if you are true to yourself and your values, like when you were in your job at Goldman Sachs and feeling that bad feeling at the end of the day, it's because you weren't living your values, right? And so
mm-hmm.
you're building this company now based on values that you believe in.
Right.
Now, let's talk about a little bit of a touchier subject, because there are easily, you know, 75-80% of the people out there in corporate jobs really are unhappy with their jobs. They just don't know what to do about it. And the number one fear is losing that steady paycheck. So you went from having a steady paycheck to launching this business. And like you said, you know, it takes several months to get everything positioned and to get yourself mm-hmm. to where you can even get started, never mind build up your clientele. So do you have any kind of advice that you would give folks who are going from that steady paycheck to one where, you know, you really have to go and earn that income?
I think a big thing when you're first starting out, I obviously have the luxury of being young enough that I could just move home and not have to pay for rent and all that and kind of cut my expenses to the bare minimum while I was getting
mm-hmm.
started.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people are older and have families and responsibilities that they have to consistently pay and take care of. And I would say that a lot of the startup work, if you can, to start really small and very bootstrap, do as many things for free as you can, and do them on your side, like on your after work hours, for as long as you possibly can. Keep the paycheck as long as you can, and then launch it all at once when it's really ready to go. When you talk to, you know, 30, 40 different people about what you want to do, gotten great feedback, made changes, get all of that done while you still have a paycheck, and then go for it. Because it is really scary to not know if you're ever going to get paid again, or if this is going to lose you $20,000. And I think the longer you can kind of stockpile some money and cut your expenses, the easier the transition becomes.
Now, you talked about, you know, starting on a bootstrap and do as much for free if you can. Can you give some examples of things that you learned to do inexpensively that others can learn from?
Yeah. Number one expense these days is getting your website up and running, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And people will want to pay like $3,000 or $4,000 when they absolutely do not need to do that. What we did was we got a free WordPress site. We got it hosted for a year for like $100 on Bluehost. Bought a custom theme from ThemePress for like $80 and just customized it ourselves. WordPress is really great for being able to kind of handle all the back end and updating yourself, which will save you a ton of money down the road. And just added a cart to that and got that all up and running for about, you know, $300. That would be
right.
My biggest one. And use freelance websites. Don't pay really expensive professional graphic designers and this and that to do simple things like that. Simple things like graphic design for you. Try Elance, Guru, Freelancer.com. Post your project. It'll cost you maybe $80 to get a good logo, some stationery, some simple things that you'll need to be in business up and running.
You know, and there are those, though, that will tell you that your graphics design, your logo, all of your branding is the place you should spend the money. But I tend to think along the lines that you are, that get your business up and running, get the income coming in, and then worry about getting the professionally designed logos.
because when I started, I got a lot of information saying, like, oh, you're going to have to spend a whole lot of money, like $800, you know, $1,000 a month on Google AdWords to get people coming to your website, or you're going to have to spend on some large media campaign, like $5,000, $6,000. And I was like, there's no way I have that kind of cash. So I started using resources like Haro, Help a Reporter Out, MediaSync to create lists, and PRWeb to kind of send my own press releases out for a couple hundred bucks. And really getting key publicity will take you so much farther than spending on AdWords and all of the other kind of things.
Now, I've heard of PRWeb, right, to publish press releases, and Haro for Help a Reporter Out. The other one you mentioned was MediaSync. And what is that one?
MediaSync.com. Mm-hmm. It's a new resource. It's really fabulous. It's kind of like Cision, the PR software where PR professionals pay $10,000 to get journalist contacts. Except for this one's free, and you are allowed to comb through it and kind of make up your own list on your own. So you can, you know, for us, we had like food bloggers, like barbecue sites, like that kind of thing. It's a great, great resource to have.
Yeah, that's
fantastic. I mean, it's free.
And it's all free, so you can go find people out there in your industry and start building your list that way. That's excellent. I hadn't even heard of them, so thank you for that.
No worries.
Now, you know, when you left your job, it sounds like you really didn't have a plan, right? It sounds like you had gotten to your breaking point, and you knew that you were in the wrong environment for you and moved back home to regroup. Is that truly the case, or when you left, did you know generally what direction you wanted to go into?
I knew I was going to open my own business. I felt like that was the right thing for me to do. I had no idea what it was going to be, and it really, I kind of quit on a whim. You know, I was crying in the elevator on the way home one day, and I was like, this is not right. I'm done tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's kind of sad that you got through so many years of education to find that out. And I have children now who are just starting college, and I wish I had a way to give them a taste of what the real world's like before they commit.
Internship. So, definitely get an internship.
I agree. So you left on a whim, you moved back home, and then figured out where you wanted to go to. So, you know, what I see a lot of are what we talked about earlier, where people think that you've got to build this plan. Just go build your plan, figure out what it is that you want to do, and then start doing it. Sounds to me like you did things a little bit differently, right? And you followed your heart, and where your heart took you is where you followed. Now, when you did decide that you wanted to start your barbecue business and own your own business, how formal of a business plan did you structure? I know you did research, you mentioned, for regulations and that sort of thing, but did you structure a business plan, or how did you really figure out what you were going to do?
Not at all. Had no business plan. I kind of wrote out what I wanted to do, how I was going to get it done. I would make a lot of lists every day. As I continually got things done, I would just make different lists and keep crossing things off. I'm kind of under the belief that the more time you spend reading and researching, the less time is spent doing. And doing is what actually will get you farther. So I tried to focus on just continually getting things done, going to the next step, making that next call, instead of trying to, you know, plan out your marketing budget for the next year and how you want to market and this and that. Because that stuff can be figured out once you have an income coming in and once you figure out that people are interested in what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just finished reading the book by Scott Gerber that's called Never Get a Real Job or Never Get a Real Job Again, something like that. And he really talks about the same plan that you just defined, which is, write out a paragraph, go out there and do something, the market will give you feedback, and then go change your paragraph, right? Don't go any further than
exactly.
That. Because if you're making up a bunch of numbers to plan out the year, you're really just making them up out of thin air, and they're just going to be wrong anyway, so why bother, right? So
right, and you have wasted 4 hours of your time for nothing.
a minimum 4 hours. Some people it could be 4 weeks, right?
Yeah, that's true.
All right, so you talked about, let's talk about lifestyle, because you said earlier that, you know, you'll work more hours, but, you know, you can take some time off to do things, you know, or control your time a little bit more. So let's talk about your lifestyle and you know, what your average number of hours per day are, or, you know, how much time do you get away from your business?
I don't think I ever really get away from it. You know, the emails are always coming to the BlackBerry. There's always a call coming in. You're always worried about it because it's kind of like your baby.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, you know, we go to work. We work from 6 to 2 straight at the office because those are USDA regulations. And so I'll do that, and then I'll come home and take a couple hours off and just not think about it, go exercise, go eat lunch, go do something else. And then I'll come back for the next couple hours at night and, like, finish up some projects, get some emails out. I think it helps a lot to be able to break up your day. I think it boosts my productivity as well to not have to work straight, like, 9 to 5 or 8 to 4 or something like that.
Yeah, I read somewhere that said that's, like, the absolute most unproductive way of working is to work those, you know, that many hours all in a row. So, you know, we need to take a look at what you're doing, right, where you do get a break and take care of your body and exercise and take care of your mind instead of just working all the time. So I think that that's a healthier lifestyle anyway.
You just cannot focus completely on your business 24 hours a day. I did that originally, and it just led me to be really unhappy and very stressed out. And, you know, I found, like, my face was breaking out and all these random things. I just didn't feel good. And I think it's important to keep a certain amount of balance even while you are working more hours.
Well, that's why you started the business in the first place, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Get your life more in balance with what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
If you could give advice to someone who's just starting out, what would you tell them? What would you say if you could hit somebody who's just getting started, trying to decide if they want to own their own business? What would be the main piece of advice you would give them?
I would say just go do it. Get your body in action and make something happen. Do 5 things every day that help get you closer to your goal. And by the time, you know, 2 or 3 weeks have passed, you should have a pretty good idea of whether it's going to be well-suited to you and your lifestyle and whether it's going to be fulfilling. I think the biggest mistake people make is not taking action soon enough.
Well, it's that fear, the fear of movement, right?
Right.
Are you a goal-oriented person? Do you tend to sit down and write out goals for your business on a regular basis?
I definitely have ideas every year. At the end of, you know, I like to write out kind of a yearly plan of where I'd like to be in a year and what I'd, just real general goals, nothing specific, but just to give myself an idea. I think it's important to kind of have an idea of where to focus your resources, because when you own it all by yourself and you're doing it by yourself, you could go 1,000 different ways. And by sitting down and kind of writing them out, just real generally, you at least have an idea of where you should put your resources and what projects may come along that you can say, you know what, that's not going to help where I want to go.
And that puts you in, like, the top 3% of the population. Because, like, 97% of the population do not have written goals of any sort. And the fact that you take the time to write them down, even if it's once a year, that's plenty. You have, it puts you in the top 3%. And that's why you're able to just go do it.
I didn't know that. That's quite a shocking statistic.
It's amazing some of the statistics that you hear, and you wonder why people get so frustrated with their lives because they don't set direction, right? They're just reacting,
right.
And it sounds like you live a different lifestyle completely where you think about where you want to put your time and your energy. Are you still doing your list every day?
I am. They keep me focused. They keep me, you know, I find a lot of joy in crossing off a to-do list. So, well, they keep me happy every day, too.
Do you ever get through the whole list in a day?
You know what? I've usually made a new list by the time it's, like, halfway done, just to, like, you know, compound and go to the next one.
Yeah. and actually that's the same thing that I've heard a lot of top performers do. Every day they write a fresh list and throw it out at the end of the day and start a new one. Not just keep carrying things from list to list either, but really stop and think about what are the things you want to get done. So, again, that puts you into one of those highly successful people because you're keeping yourself focused on what's important top of mind. So you're just living proof of how to do it the right way. Now, if you were going to talk to yourself, back to yourself as a teenager, what would you tell yourself to do differently now, knowing what you know now?
You need to get more experience trying different industries out before you have any idea what you're really going to do. I had internships and stuff in college and finance, but, one was in Sydney, Australia, and it was really more of a beach atmosphere. It was not Wall Street by any means. And, I did, little things and here around town and stuff like that, but I never really dove into the exact industry I wanted to get into that I thought would be perfect for me, and that is what you should do immediately.
Yeah, that's huge. That's so powerful to really get out of the theory, right? This is a consistent theme with everything you said to me so far today. Get out of the theory and get into the doing. And it sounds like that's the one message that we all need to hear, is to just go do it and get your arms into the real world and figure it out.
Yep, you got it.
So how are you doing now? How's your business looking? I know that are you primarily an internet business, or do you have your own store? How is your business set up right now?
So we're primarily mail order. We offer local pickup in Dayton, but it's not like a restaurant or anything like that. We do a little catering here and there. We have gotten into large amounts of wholesale supply where we're supplying meat to stadiums and different restaurants and catering events and that kind of thing. Same thing with our sauces. Our sauces are now in 36 different retail locations nationwide and 11 online. It's been crazy good growth. I've been really, really lucky. And so we're kind of working to continue the wholesale side as much as we can.
And how big is your organization right now? How many people do you have working for you?
There's 7 of us totally, and then there's 2 that work remotely.
And remotely is in outside of Dayton?
Yeah, one of them's in Memphis, Tennessee, and the other one is Charlotte, North Carolina, and they do things like graphic design and accounting.
That's phenomenal, and you've only been at this a couple of years. When I talk to you in 10 years, you're going to be the queen of barbecue.
That's right. You'll see my face on the Food Network.
Well, Leah, it's been such an eye-opener talking to you. I mean, it's refreshing to hear that, the American dream isn't dead. You just have to do it a little differently, and you have to get some guts and just jump in and start doing it. So it's just you have a great story, and I'm really glad that you were able to come and share it with us. Anything else that you want to add? Any closing comments you want to make?
Just go for it. Don't sit around thinking about it, dreaming about it while you're reading the newspaper. Just go for it.
And we can find you. Your website is what? Pigofthemonth.com, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
All righty. Leah, thank you so much. Thank you for talking with me, and I wish you the best of everything.
Thank you, Joanne.
We've been talking with Leah Richards of Pig of the Month Club, and you can visit her on the web at pigofthemonth.com. And also, while you're on the web, please make sure you come visit us on our website called lifechoiceexpert.com. You'll learn even more tips and strategies about the successful, just like you've learned on today's podcast with Leah, and you'll find a link to see all of our past podcasts as well. Till next time, bye now.